Welcome to Making Our Way Forward, a podcast where we share compelling life stories and learn from the experience of everyday entrepreneurs. At NACI, we celebrate diversity and invite you to join the conversation as we talk to entrepreneurs and leaders from all walks of life. We hope that by telling their stories, we bring you inspiration, empower you to take action, and ignite entrepreneurship in your community. Welcome to Making Our Way Forward podcast. We're back here in Chattanooga for our second Chattanooga Chat, and I am delighted to be here with two college presidents, both from Tennessee, that have joined us for a special leadership workshop. Our listeners around the world will know that what we really are proud of is talking with leaders about how they're making their way forward. And so I'm going to begin with our first college president, Dr. Rebecca Ashford, who's here with college here in Chattanooga, which she'll tell us about. But we want to begin with you and tell us a little bit about your story. How did you end up working in higher education? What maybe made you the person that you are today? Maybe share a couple insights with us.
Well, sure. I would have never suspected that I was going to end up in higher education. I thought I was going to be a high school English teacher for my entire career. I went to college to get a degree in English education, but while I was at the University of Central Florida, I started working on the campus in the student services office, and I just loved it. And when I did my student teaching, my heart wasn't in it. My heart was back at the university in the advising office at the College of Education. And so I went back after I graduated and got a master's degree in higher ed student personnel and just started my career in higher ed.
That's great. And I know it's really a pleasure for me. And the other part of my job, I get to work with college presidents all over the country. And the ones that I believe are the most innovative and those that most embrace entrepreneurial mindset really see the student as the customer. And that's what they're there for. And they don't ever forget that. So I'm really glad that you said that. So I want to turn to the college president to your left, Dr. Anthony Wise, who has just been a wonderful champion for NACI over many years. I think it was 5 or 6 years ago, we attended an event at his campus. I think I called him up and we had, again, bird in hand grant, and we had unexpended grant funds. And so we said to Dr. Wise, what might we do on your campus that would be entrepreneurial? And it was a wonderful experience. So I would love it if you would also share a bit about your background and what really brought you to the place that you're in today. You've been a college president for a long time.
It seems a lot longer over the course of the last year, 10 years. I just started my 11th year at Pellissippi State. As an undergrad at Wofford College in Spartanburg, South Carolina, I majored in business economics because I thought I needed a job, and in history because I loved it. And as I started interviewing with banks and finance companies and those kind of things as I was graduating, I was like, I just can't see myself sitting behind a desk doing this kind of work. And so about the same time, my dad bought me a book called Do What You Love, The Money Will Follow. And I said, you know what? I love history. I love being in the classroom. I love learning. I'm going to go to graduate school in history. And so I did a master's degree at Wake Forest and a PhD at the University of Tennessee, which is what brought me to Pellissippi State. I didn't intend to stay at Pellissippi State. I got a one-semester contract. I thought I would want to end up teaching in a small private liberal arts college, which was similar to the undergraduate experience I had. But the first class I taught at Pellissippi State, I had a mother and daughter in my classroom. Mom was going through a divorce and had not been in the workforce, and this was a way of trying to get her family back on its feet. And daughter had just graduated from high school, and community college was going to be her access point since her parents were going through a divorce. And just that diversity in that classroom that was so different from my undergraduate experience helped me fall in love with the community college and with Pellissippi State.
Right. And you were hooked, as they say. And I hear that story over and over again. And as you know, I spent 6 years working on a community college as well as a vice president. But prior to that, I worked in public television and had an opportunity to see a program at a university where they were working with World War II veterans. One of the Ken Burns series is a history buff, you'll remember. And what they found is that students and World War II vets, this is 12 or 13 years ago, connected the generations, and they could have these rich conversations. And my former boss said, why aren't community college students part of that conversation? They don't have to be just university students. And going back a bit, thinking about your experience now when you were a graduate student and thinking about student services, what has been your experience seeing successes of students? What matters the most to them, especially maybe on a community college where they might be first generation or they might have other challenges? They might be older, like what Dr. Wise said, the non-traditional divorce situation.
Absolutely. Bit of my story that I left out is I'm a community college graduate, and that was my access point to higher education. And so when I finished my master's degree, or as I was finishing it, I started to work as an academic advisor on a community college campus. And it was at what used to be called Brevard Community College, which is now Eastern Florida State College in Florida. And I really started to fall in love with the adult students, just like Anthony was mentioning and you were mentioning. I will never forget the first adult learner that I was really close with was one of our student leaders on campus. She also, her daughter was also a student on the campus. And the mother, the one I'm thinking about, she was working so hard to get into the nursing program. And she got accepted. And I'll never forget the way she reacted to that and how emotional she was, because she was so happy and so full of gratitude that she got in, so full of shock that she got in, for one, and then so full of gratitude. And I remember when she graduated, and, you know, she had been a single mother. She had, you know, raised her kids. You know, her daughter was there with her on campus, and she was grown. But you, from her story, you knew she struggled financially. And what she was saying at that point when she graduated with her nursing degree was, I will not have to worry about money again like I've had to throughout my adult life. And it's stories like hers that are the reason I stay in community college education, because I think of her and others like her. But for the community college, their lives would look a lot different.
Right. It's almost the on-ramp to the middle class in certain respects. Exactly. And as we have these equity conversations, you know, you think about sort of generational poverty and how education is key. I saw you, Anthony, smiling as she was telling those stories. I have a suspicion that you have maybe a student story that you'd like to share.
Yeah, you know, and I think that was one of the things that was really hardest about the last 18 months or so. You know, we missed a couple of commencements. We had to do them virtually. So, I mean, to me, one of the great joys is graduation, just is to get to shake the hands of all the students, but particularly for those students that you know that have had to come the farthest in order to achieve that success. So, you know, this spring, I ran into a young man at commencement, and, you know, I had bumped into him, and I had completely forgotten this at one of our campus locations, and he was walking out, and I said, well, you know, what's wrong with you today? And he goes, I just don't feel like this is the place. I said, well, just hang in there. And if you get to the point where you feel like you really want to walk away, just come visit me before you did. And so I'd kind of forgotten that conversation, and he graduated. I don't know if you'll remember this, but a couple of years ago we had this conversation, and I never came to see you because you convinced me that day that I should stick it out. And so it's just trying to think about, I mean, yes, when you're in administration or when you're operating a department or you're operating a college, you're thinking about systems, but also think it's important to think about how the influence you can have on individual students and how demonstrating kindness and empathy to somebody who's just, you know, feels like they're at the end of their rope can really convince them just to hang on a little bit longer to where they can get that foothold for success and reach that point where they can walk across the stage. So
that's a powerful story. And what I know about you, and kind of what I'm just getting to know you, Rebecca, is, you know, that I think leading with empathy is not leading with weakness. It's kind of leaning into the humanity of really everyone. And One of the things when we were on the campus of Pellissippi State years ago, I remember you talking about international trips. I believe that you had experienced that. And I wonder if you'd maybe share what that was like. I can only imagine. When I worked at my community college, we were outside of Philadelphia and New York, and a lot of our students were terrified to go into New York because they'd heard stories about that. So maybe just share a bit about an international experience that you had.
So Pellissippi State's home to the Tennessee Consortium of International Studies. So we have a lot of partners across the community college system and growing with the TCATs in Tennessee. So a lot of times I would travel annually with our choir. We would take them to overseas, primarily to Europe, but they've also been to China and South America as well. And one, it gives me it would give me a lot of concentrated time to spend with students, so I could get a sense of who they are and what they were doing and what their challenges were, and get a real insight into them. So, you know, to be with a group of primarily young people, but of community college students when they visit the American Cemetery in Normandy. And, you know, having been a classroom teacher in history and having some understanding of what had taken place on what really is sort of a sacred space, if you think about what happened at Normandy in June of 44, and just to see the emotional response of people to that, and to get young people to try and figure out how they fit into the world, and how it's going to change the way they think about themselves and other people. I mean, I think it's really, really critical. So we've invested a lot in that over the years. And, you know, it's remarkable to take somebody who's never been out of the county in which they live and put them on a plane and say, hey, we're going to take you to Normandy. We're going to take you to Auschwitz. We're going to take you somewhere you can have the experience of travel, but also to interact really emotionally with some powerful things that have happened in our world.
That's so cool. And Dr. Ashford, I saw you smiling. Do you want to share something?
What you may not know is I actually worked at Pellissippi State for 9 years with Dr. Wise. So before I came to Chattanooga 4 years ago. And because I was at Pellissippi, had such a great opportunity also to participate with international education with our students. And my last few weeks there actually took a group of students in a leadership class to France, and we went to Normandy, and I had the very same experience that Anthony's talking about, where, you know, you have students who've, you know, one of my students had never been on a plane. Mm-hmm. You know, the college helped him even with the very last minimal dollar, because Pellissippi was really good about providing the funds for students to travel abroad. And for this student, several of us came together and got him the money that he needed to finish up the last few things that he needed to pay. And I'll never forget seeing him board an airplane for the first time. And then he was an art major. And I think for me, one of the greatest memories I have of that trip was going to the Orsay Museum in Paris, and then also the Louvre in Paris, with this student who lived in a really low socioeconomic situation in Knoxville, Tennessee, who wants to major in art, and to see him be able to go to Paris. And, wow. And you know, that was life-changing for him, but for me it was life-changing as well to see, again, just that, to reiterate the power of education, of community college education, and how it can change lives.
Yeah, I mean, what a beautiful story. I think that's something people could never imagine happening on a community college campus. I would say, too, a fun fact about Making Our Way Forward podcast, our second largest following outside of North America is in France.
Oh, wow.
So who knows? We might have people right from the Louvre that are there. And as our time winds up, we love to end our episodes talking about hope, because I think not only higher education, but K-12 and the work and all the people here at the workshop today are thinking about what the future is going to look like. We're not outside of the pandemic yet, but we're, you know, kind of making our way forward with that. So perhaps we could start with you and maybe share with us something that you're hopeful about now and going through the rest of the year.
Well, I'm incredibly hopeful right now. And I keep saying this on campus. I feel like, at least, and I'm just going to bring it down to Chattanooga State. I feel like we are on the verge of doing great things and on the verge of greatness. And there are so many reasons for that. First of all, I think we all grew tremendously from the pandemic in a way that that would have taken years, that would have taken thousands and thousands of dollars. But we were able to make changes in the way we communicate that I think will be lasting. There are a couple of things I want to mention that I'm incredibly grateful for. I truly, firmly believe that the reason I was called to come to Chattanooga State was culture of the campus. And we have embarked on this journey, I'm calling it a journey, towards something called truly human leadership. And I don't know if you're familiar with the Barry Waymiller Company, the Chapman and Company. There's a book written by Bob Chapman, who's the CEO of Barry Waymiller, and it's called Everybody Matters. And during the pandemic, I read this book about how this manufacturing company implemented this cultural shift called truly human leadership. And they now have an education arm called Chapman and Company, and we've been working with them. And I am so hopeful in the way that I see people getting on board with this, the way we're developing our leaders in a different, very intentional way, and determining what kind of culture, what kind of leadership we want at the college, and implementing that. And I am so incredibly excited about that. I could geek out on that all day long. And then the other thing, much more hands-on, is that we are completely shifting the way we offer classes from the traditional 15-week model to a 7-week model. And that will start in the fall. For the fall of 2021, about half of our courses will be offered that way. And then in spring of 22, it will be 80%, 82, over 80% in the spring. And I'm incredibly excited about that. And if you've followed the colleges who have implemented this change, you know, the two big ones in Texas that everybody thinks about, Odessa College and Amarillo College, made these shifts. And we've spent a lot of time virtually with these two colleges over the last, since January, and learning from them and stealing ideas from them of how to best implement this. So I'm incredibly hopeful about those two things.
That's excellent. Anthony, what do you think?
I think I'm hopeful as well. Just prior to the pandemic, I took my senior staff to the Beck Cultural Center, which is in essence the Museum of African American History in Knoxville, because as we thought about equity in our community, one of the things that I wanted senior staff to understand was the impact of things like urban renewal upon the African Americans that lived in our community. And Knoxville has one of the highest black poverty rates in the United States of America. And while Pella City State is not directly responsible for that, as the community college, we absolutely have to be part of the solution for that. And then the pandemic hit. And so we're having this conversation. Now, we've made some commitments that came out of that. So we've, as a senior team, we've committed to reading over the course together. Great. And engaging in some pretty difficult conversations through a series of books that we've explored together. But then, like many of the community colleges in Tennessee, we're trying to struggle with equity on, you know, system level. You know, how are we going to approach holistic student support? What are we going to do in terms of our faculty? And one of the things that pleased me the most coming out of a year where we spent relatively little time in the same room together having conversations is how closely aligned those ideas have become with our strategic plan, right? So equity is at the center of that plan. It's at the center of our work in the Student Affairs Division. It's at the center of the work that we're going to do as part of our reaffirmation process. So it makes me feel good that folks have been listening to what we've been saying or what I've been saying over the course of the last 16 or 18 months, and even beyond that if you go back before the pandemic, and understand that Tennessee did some great things in terms of access over the course of the prior decade from 2010, you know, Tennessee Promise and Tennessee Reconnect.
Definitely.
But yep. The work ahead in the state of Tennessee really is around equity. I mean, and so thinking about all the resources we have as an institution, credit, non-credit, entrepreneurship, how we build that into really making not sure that just the institution is more equitable in our outcomes, but the community in which we all live is more equitable, because there's just so much work to do. Yeah, but I'm excited about that work, and
I can make
some headway.
And it was to your credit. Last October, we honored Governor Bill Haslam for College Promise, and I was so proud to be there with all of you. But we held a hybrid conference. We were one of the few associations around the country that took on, we did it in a very safe way, but we wanted to lead by example. So I think intentionality, you've given us so much to think about just in 20 minutes. Truly human leadership is amazing. I want to learn more about that. So I want to thank both of you, Dr. Ashford, Dr. Wise, for joining us. Thank you for the work that you do. I'm sure there are thousands of students everywhere that you don't run into and you don't hear the end of the story. But hopefully that'll inspire our listeners to take that opportunity, find out about the community college in your area. You know, maybe you take a class, maybe you teach a class, maybe you volunteer, but there are community colleges and presidents like these everywhere. Thank you.
Great job.
Thank you.
Thank you, police officer.
Thank you so much for joining us. We hope that listening to this podcast will help you to explore the many ways we might define entrepreneurship. Join us every other Wednesday for more episodes as we celebrate opportunity, learn from one another, and grow together. Subscribe to this podcast, connect with us on social media, and learn more about today's speakers at nacy.com/podcast. We look forward to making our way forward together with you.
Have you heard about our latest book, Impact Ed, How Community College Entrepreneurship Creates Equity and Prosperity? This is our roadmap for building back better in 50 states and globally. In each chapter, we share the inspiring stories of everyday entrepreneurs and explain how community colleges play a crucial role in their success. Visit us at nacy.com/impacted to order your copy now and join us in this work.
Have you heard the exciting news? NACI recently released a new publication titled The NACI Playbook, Volume 1, all about how entrepreneurial mindset sets the new standard for success in communities and colleges. The NACI Playbook digs into entrepreneurial mindset and how practicing leadership with this framework creates an agile culture with space to innovate, co-create, fail forward, and accelerate growth. Entrepreneurship and entrepreneurial leadership require us to lean in, anticipate and recognize trends, manage change, be resilient, take risks, reflect, and rest in the knowledge that anything is possible. Learn from our innovative, insightful, generous network who navigates both challenges and opportunities entrepreneurially as we share what we've learned and how you might apply their experience to your work. We hope you'll be as inspired as we were. Learn more at www.nacyplaybook.com.